This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
You're listening to Eye on Education podcast. I'm Poonam Verma. Today on the show, we talk to comedian Russell Kane and his wife Lindsay, who are the CEO and founders of Jolt, a new supplement to decrease the aging process. Does it work? We're going to find out. And we're finding out about screen time and a brand new app to help with wellness when it comes to children and phones. And we have the principal and a student from Ranches Primary School finding out how to navigate teens through social media. Eye on Education is live every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m.
This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
There is a baby expo. It's the first time it's coming to the Trade Centre this weekend. And the main aim is to support parents in the early parenting journey with a diverse range of products, resources and activities. Basically, a one-stop destination for all families and expectant parents. And two Brits, one who is apparently supposedly funny, have flown over to take part. Russell Kane, award-winning comedian and wellness enthusiast, along with his lovely wife, Lindsay Kane, who is the CEO and founder of Jolt, which I'm going to find out about. They're live with me in the studio. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having
us. She is quite funny. I think you've been unfair there.
Yeah. What was it like living with, being married to a comedian? Seriously.
Oh, well, he's so high energy all the time.
I can imagine.
You know, he's just full of beans from the moment he has his coffee.
He's on coffee right now. We should have given him some chamomile tea to calm him down.
I know, exactly. But yeah, no, he's like this all the time, just always cracking jokes wherever he can find them.
Okay. And you're okay with it, though? Or does he get too much sometimes?
No, that's medicine. Like, he makes me laugh all the time.
She says that on air. Off air might be different.
Yeah. Shut up!
So listen, Baby Expo, what is going on? What's your involvement here?
We're so excited. So we've been asked to speak at the Baby Expo, and we have one daughter who's 8. So we're going to be talking about everything when it comes to parenting and sleep and all these different things. And we're here to launch our supplement, which is called Jolt, which we're very excited about.
Yeah, so if hopefully you'll be able to see this back online. But basically, they're both 65 years old. They look about 40 now with Jolt. So, no, come on, what is Jolt? It's all about anti-aging, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a big thing. So, first of all, are you guys wellness experts in any way that you came out with this product? Where did this come from?
Well, let Russ tell you sort of his journey with it all, but he started the idea. Go on, Russ, I'll let you talk about how, with your energy.
So I've got an incredibly high energy stand-up act, and I started my career late. I started everything late.
Came me
from
too.
A working class background, took me ages to catch up, left university, you're always chasing your tail when you don't come from wealth. Makes fun creating wealth though, right, Dubai? And I'd got to a certain age, and I was like, I'm getting out of breath, I'm feeling tired. So I started to look at natural ways to improve my health, the obvious stuff, sleep, stress, diet, movement I prefer rather than exercise, because just getting up out your chair every ad break will be a start. Then I started to look at evidence-based supplements, ones that are shown to reduce cellular age in humans or other mammals. And just I started building this portfolio till I was like this mad professor taking 100 different supplements a day.
So you did your own clinical trials.
Basically. but my best friend from childhood has got a more medical and science background. So we both sort of nerd off together about this. And then as I stopped, I'm 48. And as everyone used to go to me, oh, you can't stop aging. Everyone's gone a bit quiet because I'm still, you know, 2 Ibizas a year, 2 Dubais a year.
Are you serious? 2 Ibizas a year?
Of course. Yeah. I love dancing.
Oh my goodness.
It's not about looking younger.
It's about feeling it.
Particularly as parents, feeling that zest for life, that excitement, that silliness. We're big on that fun. And so Lindsay was like, I want to do it too. How can I do it? Tried, was overwhelmed by the sort of nerdy complexity of what I was doing. And that's when her light bulb went off.
Yeah, so I had my daughter 8 years ago and she was born and I had this overwhelming fear of mortality. It never dawned on me before. And then
God, the whole show today has been like this. We talked about life insurance before and death and now it's this again. But it's life.
Yeah, yeah, and I think a lot of women, when they have a baby, they're like, oh my God, is
what if something happens to me?
Yeah, they think that, and then they think, is there anything else? And it's great being a mum and all these different things, but then you start looking, well, have I got the energy to do other things? And so I said to Ross, like, I could see his energy, increasing, and he was doing such a high energy job and all the different shows he was doing. And so I started taking everything individually. And like most people, they can't be bothered to open all these different jar pots.
I can't.
So I was like, do you know what? I really want something where it combines everything and it's convenient and it's more cost effective because it's in one place. And that's where it sort of started, yeah. Really. So we combined it.
This whole area is dominated by sort of professorial billionaire men in their 50s who want to survive on a rocket until the next millennium. But the rest of us also are passionate about feeling younger for longer. What are the top 7 anti-aging ingredients? What if they were combined into a once a day easy product? This is all Lindsay's thought. None of this was mine. I was just like, hey, it's genius. And then so my role is just to help bring it to life with words and colours and make it fun and engaging. But this was all Lindsay's baby, pardon the pun, second baby.
So what actually is in it? Like, I'm assuming, is it quite natural? Is it holistic? What is in it? How many ingredients?
Yeah, well, they're classified as food supplement. Nothing in there is pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
But they're all things that have been proved in different trials to reduce cellular age. So if we take your blood work on a cellular level, they would slow that aging process down. Do you know, a really good thing to explain while we're live on the radio is what aging is. I don't think people actually know what it is. It's so simple to understand.
Is it just our cells degenerating?
It's two things. It's cells degenerating on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But when your cell, say your forearm cell dies today, you've got to make a new forearm cell tomorrow. Well, you wouldn't have a forearm in 7 years. But we're not digital creatures. We're like a photocopier. We're analog. So we keep making more and more mistakes till we're old. So every day you've got to print new copies. Jolt maximizes the accuracies of those copies. You've also got to clear out those dead cells. They're floating around in bin bags, these dead cells. We need to clear them out. But the human body doesn't waste energy doing that, because really we didn't evolve to live much past 40. So why would we waste energy clearing cells out? So printing new cells, clearing out dead cells, that's what young people do very effectively. And you can maximize that through diet, exercise and evidence-based supplementation. And fair play to Lindsay, because I wasn't sure, she put her money where her mouth is and put our actual product into a clinical trial with real people to see what would happen.
Okay, so Russell and Lindsay did some clinical trials on Jolt, which is supposed to help with anti-aging, increasing your energy. What were the studies? What was the feedback?
So we worked with a doctor. Russell's really amazing. Let him explain on this.
So we the brand and everything has been developed with a full regular doctor, the GP who sits down with patients, and any question that comes to us is answered by a doctor, any medically type stuff. So it's not just like me and my jester's hat. It's gone, me want to stay young. And then so far as a clinical trial, we've got this Dr. Amet, top Harley Street guy who's like, I'm interested. Let me do the trial.
Did they pop the trials? Did they pop the tablets?
No, they got four diverse people. One's like a Brazilian woman in her 50s. Another guy was an Asian personal trainer in his 20s. We went diverse as possible.
Wide range.
Blood work before, blood work after. They changed nothing else, not diet, not exercise. All they did was add Jolts.
So how long? MRI scan, sorry, as well. They did a scan as well.
And how long did they take it for?
6 weeks.
So what did they notice?
So the two things we were looking for, just because of budget at this stage, we just looked for hormones and muscle. So we measured the forearm muscle, the brachioradialis is the posh name, but just means forearm, and testosterone, the master hormone of the human body, which affects men and women with equal importance, particularly women past 35, past 45.
But we're losing estrogen. Did it do anything to that?
The focus was more on the testosterone.
Yes.
Okay.
So testosterone affects mood, particularly perimenopausal women, mood, hair, interpersonal energy, if I can put it that way.
I love the way you said that.
marriage energy. All of those important things which we know a lot of women struggle with perimenopausally and menopausally. Testosterone is almost a stereotype. We know men love it. Beard, hair, grr, all of that. Now, you can take synthetic testosterone. Of course you can. How much do you take? How do you know when you've taken too much, particularly if you're a woman? Your body has all the testosterone it needs. It just needs freeing. What's called free testosterone. And as we get older, it's harder to get our natural supplies within. We increased free testosterone. This is huge. We also increased muscle density on that muscle.
I feel like I'm talking to Dr. Russell.
I'm trying to keep it. These are just Dr. Amit's words.
So let me ask you a question. You're saying there's 7 main ingredients in here. So which is the ingredient here that helps with testosterone? Like, what is it? They're all natural ingredients.
Yeah, so NMN and transresveratrol and certainly fisetin, all of them, because they're helping with cell regeneration, because your body's not preoccupied carrying rubbish around and generating new cells and all of that's running more smoothly, your body frees up more testosterone. That's the simplest way I can explain it. I'm not qualified, even though I could, to go any deeper. I don't want to be, a comedian doing science. There's enough of those about. But needless to say, those ingredients combined free testosterone. Imagine this for athletes for who can't take synthetic testosterone. Imagine for women who, like, the first thing you said was, oh, but we need estrogen. I'm a woman. That panic is gone because it's freeing the resources that your body would love to get at.
How long have you guys been taking it now then?
I started about 7 years ago, I've been taking all
the ingredients individually for about 15 years now.
So significantly, like, I know that, if I go to a concert or even if I'm doing a show, it takes me a few hours to calm down. Now, I can imagine doing a comedy show, you're so hyped up.
Yeah.
What did you notice after taking these compared to before taking them?
Well, for me, it's difficult because I've done so piecemeal. I took this for 1 year and then that for six. I haven't done nothing and then suddenly started taking Jolt. All I can push people to is our Trustpilot, our customer testimonials. And we've got a subscription model at the moment because we're new. If people weren't feeling in inverted commas, buzz or lift from this, there's no way they would be resubscribing every 3 months. We have virtually no customer drop-off.
So I have a little tub here. Yeah. Is this mine? Am I supposed to look like 10 years younger if I start taking them in 6 weeks?
You're feeling more in it. I would love that. Restful sleep, feeling a bit more zest. And also testosterone is about recovery. So if you get COVID, for every decade you are past 30, the longer it takes you to recover from COVID. Testosterone is the master hormone in recovery from viruses and colds. And not a lot of people know that.
I am feeling very fatigued, and I'm actually gonna take it. I'm gonna send you a message. We're on Instagram together now, and I'm gonna send you a message and seriously explain it, because I love everything that's in one place. Now, just as panelists for the parents, you're gonna be at the Baby Expo. You travel all the time, Russell, right? Yeah. How do you manage being parents and having that balance and that understanding with his lifestyle?
Do you know what? It's all I've ever known since I've been with him. And to be honest, I find it exciting. Every day is never the same. And our child she just comes with us and she loves it as well. So, and like I say, with Joel, it helps with energy and, it is a lifesaver for me.
We decided to go Ryan Reynolds and Blake early doors. And Ryan, he gets off a film set and runs home. If he's in LA and go home if he's in a different city and has to fly home to LA, he flies home. I'm the same. Yeah. If it's 4 hours commute, I'll go home, even if I'm at a city 20 minutes from the one I was in the night before.
Bless you.
When we travel me, Lindsay, Minna and one nana and one granddad. So it's my mum and her partner this trip. Last time we were here, it was her mum and dad. We travel like the water, family, play, silliness, connection. We're massive on all that stuff. So by the time I toddle off to my gig at 7 p.m, all the love points are already in the tank,
Love points? So are you both going to be at Expo Saturday and Sunday? Or
Saturday.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. And just really briefly, before we end, how did you guys meet?
Well, it's a bit unprofessional. It sounds inappropriate now. It shows how times have changed. But that I was trying to do my show in the UK. It was a 400-seater audience. And she was in the front row.
Yeah.
Having gobbly got herself moved from a rubbish seat to the...
So you didn't pay for the front row seat?
No.
Well, no, I had a friend that worked at the theatre and she reserved it.
And then what did you do?
I got a bit distracted and I said to my tour manager afterwards, oh, there's this beautiful girl in the front row. I've only just finished another relationship. I bet I never see that woman ever again.
Okay.
And I'd done a funny joke around the word mink because it looked like she was wearing... It was a fake fur coat, listeners.
Okay.
But I was on stage pretending she was so posh, she travelled everywhere in mink furs. And I just, a couple of weeks later, was bored, randomly tweeted the word minky up into cyberspace. And she saw it.
What do you mean?
I saw it about you. And then, it was because it was a specific joke that he'd said. So I got my friend to message, to tweet back and tag me in it, saying, oh, that's my friend. And then I just thought, I'm going to message him.
Did you like him?
I did. I was really attracted to him.
You don't need to sound so astounded.
You liked him.
Must be a great personality, Lindsay.
And he's so funny. He just makes me laugh. And
But the thing is, I'll tell you what she did. It's the same what you're seeing here now. It's why she's a bad boss CEO. I sent a message back. I was single at the time and a comedian. I was obviously messaging a few different people in an appropriate way. And she just went straight to phone call. How many women do that? She went, enough of this nonsense. My name's Lindsay. You never heard my voice. This is me. Are we going out for a drink or what? Yeah. And I loved that. That confidence. And, you know, on the inside of my wedding ring, it says, you had me at Minky.
And this is how Russell and Lindsay became parents, or are now panellists on the EXO Baby event. It was a pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
So I've noticed over the past 2 weeks my eyes have been aching, and I've been putting drops in them, and I realised it's because I'm either on my phone or I'm editing videos on my laptop. And when I want to relax, what do? I go and watch TV or Netflix or something again on the screen. So my eyes never really rest. And I think one of the reasons is we've all become so dependent because we work on screen. So it's very difficult to probably go a whole day, 24 hours without looking at one screen. Now that's me struggling as an adult, but what about the younger generation? Well, with me now is Jacqueline Perrottet. She's the founder and CEO of Hoopla and joins me now. Welcome, Jacqueline.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Did I pronounce your surname right? Perrottet.
Close, Perrottet.
Oh, it sounds so posh. Perrottet. I love it. What is Hoopla? I love the name, first of all.
Oh, thank you. So Hoopla is a mental wellness app for children and parents. Mm. And we help children calm and have parents and children connect through really fun activities.
Okay, so let's go back. Why did you decide to start an app like this? What's your background? Are you like a techie person yourself?
No, I'm not. But I suffered with anxiety my entire life. And now with two young kids, I wanted to make sure they had the tools and resources that I didn't have. And when I started researching the market, what was available, I realized so many other parents shared this concern, but there was still a lack of tools out there. And so that's really what started this journey.
So how long had you been struggling with anxiety? From what age?
Gosh, my entire life.
Do you know why, though?
I don't know. But I think one of the main reasons why it was so debilitating was because it wasn't diagnosed from a younger age. And so I think it led to a lot of other issues and lost opportunities throughout my life.
It's kind of funny. There's a lot of things I don't remember people bringing up when we were younger. You know, teenagers being depressed, going through anxiety.
These problems aren't just going to go away, and we need to be able to manage them.
So let's talk about Hoopla. Let's say as a parent and a child, what age group is it for, first of all?
So right now it focuses on ages 3 to 8 years old. No, so everything should be done together. It really has two main functions. One is the sensory toy. So it's a multi-sensory toy. We use something called haptic feedback in the phone, which is the vibration. And we can mimic physical sensory toys by creating tactile sensations like heartbeats and waves. And when we pair that with the right audio, it becomes a really immersive experience for children.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And this is when they're in a stressful environment, like going to the doctors. The parent can give the tool to the child and it can help them calm and breathe easily. Then we also have activities to connect parents and children. So these are, you know, through songs and games and meditations, but everything's supposed to be done with the parent and child together. And this is what really differentiates from a lot of other apps out there.
So how long has this app been out there now?
We had an MVP launched on iOS in September, but we didn't really launch the beta version until about a month ago. And now we're relaunching with a new version in the coming few days.
Okay, so how old were your children you mentioned again?
5 and 7.
So you've used this on them, obviously.
Yes.
Can you tell me like some differences you've noticed after using certain exercises with them?
Sure. I mean, I think it really helps de-escalating a lot of these tantrums and meltdowns that we might have in different environments. So if we're out for the day and, you know, my child might be having a meltdown, instead of just handing YouTube or Netflix, which might be an easy fix, but then cause a problem later, I can hand them one of our tools. And she actually now identifies her feelings with some of the characters, and she knows that there are certain characters that calm her down in different situations.
Does it deal with things, let's say, I don't know, bullying?
Well, bullying, I mean, we do have games for parents and children to do together, like a problem-solving game. So it has different pictures and images of different scenarios. And then the parent and the children discuss how to cope through these situations. So one of these examples could be bullying. So in general, it helps empower children. It helps gain more confidence. You know, there are positive affirmation exercises and breathing exercises that can help them get through difficult situations.
So let's talk about, you know, mental wellness for children, basically. I mean, what kind of situations are you've been through anxiety yourself? Have you had other parents say that my children are struggling with certain things? And why do you think that is? At such a young age these days as well.
Yes, definitely. And what I found even before I started developing Hoopla was that there were so many parents dealing with the same things, and they just were involved in all of these unnecessary tests trying to find out if it was ADHD or behavioral issues. And now I feel like everyone wants to put a label on so quickly.
That's what I think. I feel like there's labels everywhere. And sometimes I think people, I got bored in school classes. It doesn't mean I had ADHD.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And even anxiety. I mean, anxiety is a good thing. Everyone has anxiety. It's when you can't manage it. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have tools that everyone has within them. I mean, breathing and meditation and grounding exercises. These are the same exercises you teach a child as you do an adult later on in life.
So I got asked the other day, how do you teach children to meditate, especially since they, you know, they can't sit there for 5-10 minutes, right? And one of the, I mean, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but it would be nice to see what you do on the app. What would you say? Because I said one of the things that I find is good with kids is sound meditation. Mm-hmm. Because let's say there's a gong, they can play it and then say, now lie down and I'll do it for you. Well, what kind of advice would you give to a parent like that?
Exactly. I think have fun with it. I mean, it's not about them doing anything correctly. There's nothing that's right or wrong. It's just having instilling a healthy habit and doing it on a regular basis. I think consistency is key, and that's what Hoopla is all about. Everything is under 5 minutes.
Okay.
And the idea is to make it just a healthy hygiene habit, like brushing your teeth. Let's focus on our mental wellness and learn these tools that we can use throughout our life.
This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
So I've been talking about a mental wellness app for children and parents called Hoopla. CEO Jacqueline is with me now. Jacqueline, I just want to ask, you've got two young children. How do you manage that with your kids? I told you before, my eyes literally have been hurting me for 2 weeks because I'm always on a screen. How do you do it with the kids? What do you do?
I mean, it depends. We aren't a screen-free house. We do integrate screens. We have short periods of time. So my eldest can use her Nintendo for 30 minutes. And then we have great parental controls because that's what she wants. And we let her choose and understand what are the good apps, what are, you know, the not so great apps. And then my youngest, for now, just on the weekends, she watches TV, but that's about it.
So, and just finally, we've had a text because we were talking about, you know, mental wellness for children. I think one mother is a little bit worried, but this seems quite normal to me. It says, my 12-year-old son told us, I need my space. How do I interpret that? We all need our space.
Yes. I mean, it's good to identify that you need space sometimes. Yeah. I think that is something that a psychologist could answer probably better than I could.
But I remember being young teens and growing in that age, you do need your space. And you lock yourself in your room, you're reading, you're writing. Or I used to write poetry or talk to my friends.
Yeah.
It's just that age.
Exactly. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I think it's about balance. And I think as long as there's, you know, connection between the parent and the child at some points. Yes, I think space is perfectly normal.
So we can download the app, Hoopla, Hoopla.
Yes,
amazing.
On iOS. Right now it's only available on Apple, but in the future it will be available on Android as well.
All right, Jacqueline, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
So I have three lovely ladies in the studio with me. I have Emma Ledger. She is the principal of Ranches Primary School, and year six pupil Sophia Rafi and her mum Priya Gorashi, who I have actually met. Priya, I remember meeting you and I think I did shoot with you, and you You did. When you walked in, I went, I know you. And then I saw the name. So we'll have to catch up after. I'll remind you who I am.
Amazing.
Sophia,
I know who you are.
You know who I am. There you go. Sophia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I like anyone called Sophia because it's my niece's name. And they're always sweet. Is she sweet, Mum?
Amazing.
Oh, you can tell. So we're talking about navigating teens' phones. Can you please help with adults too, Emma? So let's first talk about, you're the principal of Aranches Primary School. At what age do you think it is appropriate for children to start using mobile phones?
Yes, I get asked that question quite a lot, and I can never give a definitive answer. I think it's really, it's personal. It's every family situation is very different, and I guess even if we start thinking about it more of as a device rather than a mobile phone, because our children are given mobile devices from such a young age, as very much as babysitting, you know, just making sure that the children are entertained whilst the parents are busy, or if the child behaviour-wise needs to be settled down, the mobile phone or the device is often used as a tool for that. So if we're talking about just used as something recreational, I guess it's up to every family to make that decision.
So
there's
no
choice. There isn't.
That was like an MP's answer. It was so diplomatic.
It's the same when I'm asked that question about screen time as well. How much screen time should,
That's coming up. So I'll let you think about that. Okay, Sophia, what age did you have a phone?
So I've always been deeply involved with technology, as both of my parents have been in the working field with them. So I've always been fascinated about these things. So I have a great knowledge of it. So my mom decided that at the age of 9 years old, for me, as again, every family is different, that I was ready to have a phone for mainly communicating with others.
So when you wanted a phone, is it because you thought, you know, I need one to do things on, or it's because all my friends have one?
Actually, I thought that I wanted to communicate with others like my friends did. I wanted to, because I'm an only child, actually, I wanted to communicate. I wanted to make plans myself. Generally nothing about social media, though. I didn't, until I think a couple months, decide that I wanted to start that.
So, Mum, Priya, I know when my sister, her kids, they were my niece now, Sophia, 17, she doesn't use social media, and it's so bizarre. And I love her for it, but at the moment she doesn't feel she needs it. But I'm sure as she gets older, she will, whether it's for work or other kind of things in university. Was it scary to put her on a phone and then navigate through social media? Because I knew it gave my sister anxiety. She didn't know what the kids would be looking at.
So you have a very good point here. I think that it has to start with ourselves to get the knowledge ourselves to what's going on out there, to be able to then give it back to our kids. And the more we know about the good sides and bad sides of the social medias and how we can navigate it ourselves, it's where we don't have this fear as much as, because I feel The less you know, the first thing comes, it's the fear, and you want to protect your child, right? So you don't want them to be faced with anything, but because then you don't know it as much as you should. So I think it should start with you to be able to understand, and then based on that, give it by drops to them. So because we are living in a world that technology and AIs and all of these things are in our face, and we have to give that knowledge back to our children and the future to be able to understand it. And the faster they understand, I believe, and the confidence of that comes in, and that's where they can also start understanding and knowing a little bit more about, okay, I should be worried about this, or if something is outside of my comfort zone, I have to talk about this to my parents or my guardian angels and all of that. So it's all about communication. I would start here, but then it's easier said than done for sure.
Okay,
but
so Pri and Emma, let's think about when we were teenagers, right? How many times did our mom say, "Where are you going? Don't do this. Be careful," and you know you're going to do something else, right? And you're like, "Mom, I'm fine," right? I think if I'd grown up with social media, I'd probably have about 10 private accounts with different pictures thinking it's going to be okay. And who knows in the long run, you know, these pictures are going to come out because we're young and we're naive.
Yeah.
And there is that fear of like, what are they actually doing? I think that's one of the things that most parents and teachers worry about. But listen, so Sophia, you're 11 years old and your title is so much better than mine. You're a well-being leader and digital leader for Ranches Primary School. What does that even mean and what does it entail?
So a well-being ambassador in our school is made by, there's this thing called the well-being charter. There are 6 contributors on this charter. There are 3 mental and 3 physical. It's basically how to embody like screen time, exercise, all those things. So the 3 on the physical side are exercise, diet, and sleep, and the 3 on the mental side are connecting, giving, and doing. So these all summon up your mental health on how to take care of yourself. And
so is this something that you have to talk to about to students, or they come to you? How does it work?
So every Thursday morning, me and my team meet up with a teacher, and we talk about a bunch of things on how to make the school better through each contributor. So we're like kind of helping out. We sometimes go on assemblies to talk about the school, bits and bits. Like, we have projects. Recently, we've had something called the Voice of the Student Survey, which it's talking about if the students feel safe in school, if that course. So we get the results, and we found that the main goals that they want us to help is friendships, diet, and screen time. So we're working on those as a project.
So there was one young girl that came on the show. She's a family friend of mine. And when she was 9 years old, she started presenting on the radio. And she started getting some haters, you know, some friends and bullying and stuff. And I don't think that's something I could have coped with when I'm young. Do you see a lot of friends or young people coming across things like this because we're all online? And how do you deal with that when they come to you?
So I do see a bunch of things, and I think cybersecurity is very important, and cyberbullying as well. So along with my friends, they come to me, and I make sure to tell them that you should always like think for yourself. It doesn't matter what they say. All focus on yourself. If you feel you're struggling, never keep it inside. That's the worst thing to do. You should always tell a trusted adult, one of your trusted friends, something, someone you know will help you, because it's better to even just get it out.
Yeah, Priya, you've done a good job. I can just tell right now.
I'm just like having tears in my eyes when I am just looking at her. I'm like, oh, thank you.
She's listened to you. She's listened to you. Emma, I just wanted to ask you, how much, do kids allowed to walk around the schools with phones all the time, or are there times when they have to give it in? How does it work?
Yeah, well, we don't, as I said earlier, we're a primary school, so we don't allow children to have mobile phones at all in school. Quite a few of our children, older children, do walk to school with a community pass, so their parents allow them to bring a phone to school, but we have never had situations where we've had any issues with the phones, because the children will just know to keep them in the bags all day. They do have iPads, though. So we still have devices. And at the moment, we have a bring your own device scheme, which where children will bring their own devices from home. So managing that is a little tricky, because obviously there might be a family shared device. There might be other apps on there that we would not want on. So we are moving to a one-to-one device system come the new year, the new academic year, where we will issue the devices to the students and we will manage the audit. And it really, really does help us when we're able to see what the children are doing online. We put extra firewalls on there, we put extra security on there, we get alerts when children are searching on certain things. And that really, really help us to shape our curriculum so it is fit for purpose for today, because curriculums can be, you know, written last year. The digital citizenship curriculum written last year is probably pretty much out of date for what we're dealing with now.
I'm just thinking about teens these days who are using devices to cheat, you know. That's a hard thing to crack down on, isn't it? As teachers and people in education. Sophie, you want to say something?
So what... from what my point of view, what the school has done is we have, when we're searching something, first of all, the way our classroom is laid out, everyone can see everything. So it's not that easy to get away with it. And they can see our screens because they've configured our iPads in the IT room to our safety and make sure we don't really cheat on these things. But there's, I believe among my classroom, there's never been an issue like that.
There's never a care. I think I would cheat. That's just me.
This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
So with me in the studio is Emma Ledger, the principal of Ranches Primary School, Year 6 pupil Sophia Rafi, who has a beautiful title. She is the well-being leader and digital leader for Ranches Primary School. And her mum's here, Paria, and she actually works side and side with the school. Now, I want to know how this triangle works, Priya, because you said, you know, the primary school do such a great job. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So Sophia has been in Ranches since nursery, actually, and this is her last year. And I'm actually quite sad. But I must say from beginning, the way Ranches made, both from communication, when it comes to understanding and being in the same line with school, they have made it such a easy for, I will speak on my behalf.
Yeah.
And I have had such a great relationship with both teachers throughout the years of Sophia being in Ranches and also with principal and all of that. And that itself is so, if I feel anything, if I see anything, I know that I can go connect directly with the teachers. And together, if there is anything, we could find a solution for it. Because I always believe that if you're as a group, or being close to the school and teachers, this way the kids can also feel that, and that would not be a divided part of, okay, at school this is happening, home is different, where am I standing? It's so important as adult to be able to have this way of communication with school. So today, now, after since nursery till she's with her and the principal, and it just, for me, it was like, this is it. They have done a fantastic job. I, as a parent, feel it. And now we're sitting here and talking about what we can do for our future of our kids, how we can help them through the journey of their growth and everything that is happening with the social media. And because we cannot fight it. This is the reality. We are here today, and this is the future. And the more we can add knowledge, both from home front and from school, and being in a line, that's where we can help our kids.
So, Emma, my mom always grew up with a very similar thought. She said, you know, when you understand a child's parents as a teacher, you'll understand the child better. So how important has it been for you to involve and have the time, not only for your students, for your parents?
Yeah, I know. It's something that I've been really passionate about for many years. I think we were one of the first schools in the northeast of England when I worked there to embark upon a one-to-one iPad project, and that was back in 2012. So I've had to do some quick learning over the years, and I guess it's just an area of passion of mine, but also being a parent as well. So 100% I could connect as an educator, but obviously also connect as a parent. And I realise, you know, I go in, even now I still will go in and teach the students around digital citizenship, digital safety, and we do work in assemblies as well. So when I'm talking to the children about really trying to understand what they see are the dangers, what they see are the fears, and what they see are the benefits, it's quite different to how we perceive it as adults. So a focus for me is really to get down to the level of the children and understand exactly what it is they're facing, what they're dealing with on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and then finding a way to convey that message back to parents. And a really great example of that is a session actually I did with Sophia in it recently, when we were looking at what are you worried about when it comes to digital, online, working online, whatever it is. And I thought it would be online bullying. I thought it might be, you know, you can't unsee something once you've seen it. And they were talking to me about their fear of being scammed. And that was the overwhelming fear that I had from all of the classes that I delivered this same session to. But actually, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's really, and it comes under various umbrellas. It's about the fake news. It's about being duped. It's about putting your credit card details in. It's about grooming. You know, it's all of those things, being duped online because there's no, you can't see anybody at the other side of it. So, and one of the main messages that came across loud and clear, and I'm sure Sophia will support me on this, is that some of her friends felt they couldn't tell their trusted adult because they would be worried they would take their devices away because adults are scared. We're scared because we don't know enough. And because we can't put parental controls on, or we don't know how to change privacy settings for our children, or we don't know how to monitor them, therefore we can't support them in that. And it is a real thing, and parents are fearful. Yeah. So then we do sessions on the back of that, and I'd show them what the children have said. I'd show them the work the children had produced. And it's a really powerful message. And parents do go away thinking quite differently about it when the voice comes from their children.
I think it's really difficult as well, because it's easy for us to say, oh, you know, put your phones down. They don't know a world without having the web and the phone. We do. So we know the benefits and the disadvantages. So Karen has sent a text, and she says she read a recent article, and it said it's clear when you look at the rise in anxiety, depression and self-harm in teens, it directly correlates with the decade in which we've had smartphones. And studies have shown they change the structure of the developing brain. So what signs should parents and teachers look for to identify if a child is developing an unhealthy relationship with their devices?
Such a great question. In fact, Sophia and I were discussing this question earlier, because I know what I would look for from an adult perspective, but Sophia, as a wellbeing ambassador, Well, do you want to start, Sophia, by talking about some of those signs that you were saying that you might see from your friends who have unhealthy relationships with technology?
So the main factors of technology is when you go to bed, your iPad, smartphone, whatever device you have, has a blue light over it. It makes your brain think you're awake and stuff. It's like, oh, it's daytime. I'm going to keep watching. The time flows by quickly. So this blue light keeps you awake, even if you turn it off, for longer than you should be, so it deeply affects your sleep schedule. So dark eyes, swelling, redness of the eyes are a main
And dry factor. Eyes.
Yes.
That's what I feel like I'm getting,
tiredness, yeah. And all of those tiredness leads on to the day after in school. You're not proactive as the way
moody.
You should be, moody. It's all of this have different effects, right?
Do you know the thing I worry about? So, you know, when you're a young person, you're still creating your identity, you're creating that ego, whether it's a healthy ego, whatever. How do I look and everything? We have that as adults anyways, we grow old, especially as women. As young children, when you're looking at other teens, I just think that's dangerous, and there's a lot of pressure.
And again, it comes back to the fear of being scammed. Again, I'm being scammed by this girl online who really doesn't look like that, and that influence that people have over us. Sophia was talking about that before earlier, and you taught me a new term, Sophia, that I hadn't heard about, this desire for people to follow you and this desire for many likes, and you would do anything you can to get these likes. So you're going to introduce us oldies to this new term.
Clout chasing is a very popular term.
What's it called?
Clout chasing.
Clout chasing. Yeah.
So clout is when it's popularity among social media is you want to get likes, you want to get views. So clout chasing is when you do the absolute most things just for the likes. And like, among these things, you can get paid. Like, I've seen people taking bits out of TV shows and putting any TV show, like, and then they'd put like a slime video, someone painting or something next to it. All they'd want to do is just to get the likes, just to
just to boost their ego. And do your friends and people in your students in your school do compete for likes? Like,
I believe most of them are not at that stage yet, but I feel like
it's going to go there in the team.
It's going to come eventually.
Again, we go back to the knowledge, right? So the more, the faster we teach them about the importance of actually using the social media in the right way, and don't get scammed or don't get fooled by the wrong side of it as well. And don't believe that if this is popular right now, you have to have it because all your friends are having it. If it's been a beauty product or any form of anything, I myself are very active on social media. So myself, this is something as well that from young age, Sophia has been seeing that it's sometimes... Throughout the years, she's been asking me, "Oh, mommy, this is amazing. Maybe you should get that." I said, "No, mom, this is something that they are promoting because this person has been paid for to do that. But do you need that? That's a different story. Why you don't and you do need that?" Again, we go back to
it's all marketing. They're pushing it on us, Sophia. Yeah. What do you want to say, darling?
So what I wanted to say is technology is the future. Like what everyone's freaking out about, ChatGPT, it's the babiest version AI has to see for this world. So about getting scammed, about cybersecurity, in our school, we're being made very aware of that. Like Miss Ledger sometimes comes in, teaches lessons, and making sure we're all on a good level of knowledge on this. So... I just wanted to say that basically we should, as childs, we are getting more informed, and we're in our school, they're providing it.
I want to know how this triangle works, Priya, because you said, you know, the primary school do such a great job. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, so Sophia has been in Ranches since nursery, actually, and this is her last year, and I'm actually quite sad. But I must say from beginning, the feel like the way Ranches made like the within the both from communication when it comes to understanding and being in the same line with school, they have made it such a easy for I will speak from on my behalf, yeah. And I have had such a great relationship with both teachers throughout the years of Sophia being in Ranches, and also with principal and all of that. And that itself is so, if I feel anything, if I see anything, I know that I can go connect directly with the teachers, and together, if there's anything, we could find a solution for it. Because I always believe that if you're as a group or being close to the school and teachers, this way the kids can also feel that, and that would not be a divided part of, okay, at school this is happening, home is different, where am I standing? It's so important as adult to be able to have this way of communication with school. So today, now, after since nursery till she's here with her and the principal, and it just, for me, it was like, this is it. They have done a fantastic job. I, as a parent, feel it. And now we're sitting here and talking about what we can do for our future of our kids, how we can help them through the journey of their growth and everything that is happening with the social media. And because we cannot fight it. This is the reality. We are here today, and this is the future. And the more we can add knowledge, both from home front and from school, and being in a line, that's where we can help our kids.
So, Emma, my mom always grew up with a very similar thought. She said, you know, when you understand a child's parents as a teacher, you'll understand the child better. So how important has it been for you to involve and have the time, not only for your students, for your parents?
Yeah, I know. It's something that I've been really passionate about for many years. I think we were one of the first schools in the northeast of England when I worked there to embark upon a one-to-one iPad project, and that was back in 2012. So I've had to do some quick learning over the years, and I guess it's just an area of passion of mine, but also being a parent as well. So 100% I can connect as an educator, but obviously also connect as a parent. And I realise, you know, I go in, even now I still will go in and teach the students around digital citizenship, digital safety, and we do work in assemblies as well. So when I'm talking to the children about really trying to understand what they see are the dangers, what they see are the fears, and what they see are the benefits. It's quite different to how we perceive it as adults. So a focus for me is really to get down to the level of the children and understand exactly what it is they're facing, what they're dealing with on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and then finding a way to convey that message back to parents. And a really great example of that is a session actually I did with Sophia in it recently, when we were looking at what are you worried about when it comes to digital, online, working online, whatever it is. And I thought it would be online bullying. I thought it might be, you know, you can't unsee something once you've seen it. And they were talking to me about their fear of being scammed. And that was the overwhelming fear that I had from all of the classes that I delivered this same session to. But actually, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's really, and it comes under various umbrellas. It's about the fake news. It's about being duped. It's about putting your credit card details in. It's about grooming. You know, it's all of those things, being duped online because there's no, you can't see anybody at the other side of it. So, and one of the main messages that came across loud and clear, and I'm sure Sophia will support me on this, is that some of her friends felt they couldn't tell their trusted adult because they would be worried they would take their devices away because adults are scared. We're scared because we don't know enough. And because we can't put parental controls on, or we don't know how to change privacy settings for our children, or we don't know how to monitor them, therefore we can't support them in that. And it is a real thing, and parents are fearful. Yeah. So then we do sessions on the back of that, and I'd show them what the children have said. I'd show them the work the children had produced. And it's a really powerful message. And parents do go away thinking quite differently about it when the voice comes from their children.
I think it's really difficult as well, because it's easy for us to say, oh, you know, put your phones down. They don't know a world without having the web and the phone. We do. So we know the benefits and the disadvantages. So Karen has sent a text, and she says she read a recent article, and it said it's clear when you look at the rise in anxiety, depression and self-harm in teens, it directly correlates with the decade in which we've had smartphones. And studies have shown they change the structure of the developing brain. So what signs should parents and teachers look for to identify if a child is developing an unhealthy relationship with their devices?
Such a great question. In fact, Sophia and I were discussing this question earlier, because I know what I would look for from an adult perspective, but Sophia, as a wellbeing ambassador, Well, do you want to start, Sophia, by talking about some of those signs that you were saying that you might see from your friends who have unhealthy relationships with technology?
So the main factors of technology is when you go to bed, your iPad, smartphone, whatever device you have, has a blue light over it. It makes your brain think you're awake and stuff. It's like, oh, it's daytime. I'm going to keep watching. Time flows by quickly. So this blue light keeps you awake, even if you turn it off, for longer than you should be. So it deeply affects your sleep schedule. So dark eyes, swelling, redness of the eyes are a main
and dry eyes.
Yes.
That's what I feel like I'm getting.
Tiredness.
Yeah.
And all of those tiredness leads on to the day after in school. You're not proactive as the way
moody.
You should be, moody. It's all of this have different effects, right?
Do you know the thing I worry about? So, you know, when you're a young person, you're still creating your identity, you're creating that ego, whether it's a healthy ego, whatever. How do I look and everything? We have that as adults anyway, as we grow old, especially as women. As young children, when you're looking at other teens, I just think that's dangerous, and there's a lot of pressure.
And again, it comes back to the fear of being scammed. Again, I'm being scammed by this girl online who really doesn't look like that, and that influence that people have over us. Sophia was talking about that before earlier, and you taught me a new term, Sophia, that I hadn't heard about, this desire for people to follow you and this desire for many likes, and you would do anything you can to get these likes. So you're going to introduce us oldies to this new term.
Clout chasing is a very popular term.
What's it called?
Clout chasing.
Clout chasing. Yeah.
So clout is when it's popularity among social media is you want to get likes, you want to get views. So clout chasing is when you do the absolute most things just for the likes, and like among these things, you can get paid. Like, I've seen people taking bits out of TV shows and putting any TV show, like, and then they'd put, like, a slime video, someone painting or something next to it. All they'd want to do is just to get the likes, just to
boost their ego. And do your friends and people in your students in your school compete for likes? Like,
I believe most of them are not at that stage yet, but I feel like
it's going to go there in the team.
It's going to come eventually.
Again, we go back to the knowledge, right? So the more, the faster we teach them about the importance of actually using the social media in the right way, and don't get scammed or don't get fooled by the wrong side of it as well. And don't believe that if this is popular right now, you have to have it because all your friends are having it. If it's been a beauty product or any form of anything, I myself are very active on social media. So myself, this is something as well that from young age, Sophia has been seeing that it's sometimes... Throughout the years, she's been asking me, "Oh, mommy, this is amazing. Maybe you should get that." I said, "No, mom, this is something that they are promoting because this person has been paid for to do that. But do you need that? That's a different story. Why you don't and you do need that? Again, we go back to
it's
that.
It's all marketing. They're pushing it on us, Sophia. Yeah. What do you want to say, darling?
So what I wanted to say is technology is the future. Like what everyone's freaking out about, ChatGPT, it's the babiest version AI has to see for this world. So about getting scammed, about cybersecurity, in our school, we're being made very aware of that. Like Miss Ledger sometimes comes in, teaches lessons, and making sure we're all on a good level of knowledge on this. So I just wanted to say that basically we should, as childs, we are getting more informed and we're in our school, they're providing it.
Yeah. Okay, sweetie. We're going to have a little break. We're just going for the track.
More of Afternoons with Helen Farmer is coming up next.
On the UAE's number one talk radio station, Dubai Eye 103.8.
Time check with WeO Bank.
Well, with me, we have a young Sophia who is a student at the Principal of Ranches Primary School. And we are talking with her mum and Emma Ledger, who is the principal there, about screen timing, mobile phones. Very briefly, we're running out of time. Sophia, did you ever get anxiety having a smartphone as a young girl?
I've experienced social anxiety, panic attacks, all of that. So the best way I've learned to overcome it was to, like, make sure that you're in control of your own mind. Not really control, but more of to guide yourself, because you can never really fully control your mind.
And also, I want to ask you, Emma, there's a really big thing. One of my bosses said to me, you know, when I get a CV, the first thing I will do is I'll look at their social media platform. Please tell all the young kids out there what social footprints actually mean, because we don't have them from when we were teens.
I know. And even just last week in school, we had a safeguarding review, and part of our safer recruitment process was looked at quite carefully. It's like, even when you're screening staff now, teachers, teaching assistant, one of the things on the checklist is, have you checked their social media? And what we are checking for in terms of safer recruitment is that they're professional, they're online, their accounts are private. And I think you were talking, weren't you, Parry, about the opposite of that, recruiters actually looking for people's great social profiles.
Exactly.
So for us, I was just explaining that the Common Sense curriculum, which is a digital citizenship curriculum, talks about introducing children to their digital footprint from the age of year two.
Wow.
So talking to children, whatever you do online will stay online and it'll be out there. And we give them scenarios. We ask digital leaders to come in and support them, talk about different cases and how would they respond in these situations. So it's so important we talk to children from a very young age about their behaviour online.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, Sophia, last question for you. Please help me with screen time. Any top tips?
So for screen time, I have made a poster in school, and on that I've added, so I'll explain in a minute, I put it all around the school. So the key thing is habit. Screen Time is an addiction. It's something you feel, no, I can't get rid of this. This makes me happy. So to get rid of it, to form and lose a habit is to increase and decrease. So to form a habit, you, for example, you want to start reading books more. Slowly every day, maybe you can say, I'll read 30 minutes a day until you get into the habit of it. But it depends on the person. So there are two ways to deal with the situation. First way is to kind of do the inverse of what I just said and slowly be like, I'll have, if it's non-productive, like scrolling on social media, but if it's something like maybe writing a book online, that's completely okay. I'll have 2 hours online today. Tomorrow, I'll have 1 hour and 30 minutes, and so on and so on. The second way is to find some, the way I did, I used to be really bad with screen time. The way I did is you cover up like with a different habit. So I started reading more, yeah, and that would cover up my screen time.
Yeah. So you've got to find something else to, yeah, fit it in. So we're running out of time. So I just want to say thank you, Emma, Priya, Sophia. Thank you so much. You brought up a beautiful daughter.
Thank you.
Emma, you're the calmest, smiliest teacher I've seen with all the stress
Lovely.
That's going on. But thank you, ladies, so much.
This is Eye on Education on Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
With Ranches Primary School, a nurturing community school and nursery committed to holistic education in the heart of Arabian Ranches too.
Make sure you tune in from 2 to 5 every weekday.